In today's message, discover the Father's heart. Glean some biblical nuggets you'll cherish for life. Now, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church International family in this timely message, The Father's Heart.
Let's go a step further here. Turn with me. I will come back to this verse, but turn with me also to Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. This is very important. He says, here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press into it, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servant to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dresser took his servant, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son, or reverence my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what would he do to these vine dressers? They said to him, he would destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their seasons. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn with me also to Mark chapter 10, verse 41. Mark chapter 10, verse 41. And we'll tie all this together. Mark chapter 10, verse 41. Actually, Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, not Mark. Thank you, Lord. He says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, he says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Thank you, Father. And before I get into the details of this, Psalm chapter 37, verse 25 says, I've never seen a righteous person nor his seed begging for bread. And if God is our Father, I can assure you this morning that lack and want is not your portion. Because God does a much better job to us as a father than even our earthly fathers. And so I pray in this season, no matter whether your father is dead from a physical standpoint, or you have your earthly father living alive, no matter the circumstance, I can assure you that you will never see the righteous forsaken. When you are faithful and you faithfully serve God, you will never be forsaken. But let's get back to our text here. It says, you have many instructors, but few fathers. Thousands of instructors, but few fathers, and that's what we need. You see, you can have so many people. Like for instance, if you turn on the TV, if you turn on the radio, there are so many people that are speaking. But when it comes to a father, he's talking about somebody. He says here, "I begotten you through the gospel." I have begotten you through the gospel. So he wasn't talking about being a natural father to them. That's not what he was talking about. Which brings me to an important point. If you are listening or watching online, who is your father? Is God your father, or is the devil your father? He was talking to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44. Notice what he says. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He was speaking to the strictest sect, the Pharisees, the most religious people of his days, and he is saying that the devil was their father. Very harsh words. And these were the religious people of the day. You see, if in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they switched allegiance from God being their father to the devil being their father. And anybody who is not in the kingdom of God doesn't have God as their father. The devil is their father. And so this morning, if you are watching this time, if you are watching and or listening to this, and you have never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ into your life, I encourage you to do it and to do it right now. It's a very awful thing to have the devil for a father. He's a very mean and cruel person. He doesn't deal fair. He doesn't deal right. So the question is, who is your father? Switch, if Jesus is not your Lord, to receive him as the Lord of your life so that God can be a father to you. Amen. Amen. I thought I would throw it out in there. That will help somebody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he says, you have so many instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I've begotten you through the gospel. You see, we have, number one, our biological father. That is the person that brought us into the world. Then, I'm just going through here, the kinds of fathers that you have. Then, number two, you have your father in Christ, the one who led you to Christ. And all these people have to be honored. And from a natural standpoint, it's such a joy. This morning, the kids woke me up, and then they gave me my Father's Day gift, and then they did this thing. They put a recording on Alexa. I mean, to me, Alexa is the radio reboxed in another form. It's all come full circle. And then they put a note on it, and they said, "Alexa, play a note for Daddy." And they played the recording that they had on there. It was such a blessing about who you are and what you've done and all these things. So I'm a biological father to them. And so our fathers, from the natural standpoint, should be honored. Then you have your father, the one who led you in Christ. I remember my pastor, one day I went to church, he preached, and because of his faithfulness, I went forward and I gave my life to Christ. And today I'm standing here. Very important, the one who came to you and gave you the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. Then you have your spiritual father who trains you, the person who trains you in Christ. You come to church, and for me, this I'll be the pastor here. You come to church, he trains you, he teaches you, read your Bible every day, pray, be nice to people, be kind to people, all these things, walk in love, grow up as a Christian. He guides you along the path of life. That is your spiritual father. Then you have your father in ministry, the one who trains you to how to win others to the Lord, how to shepherd others, how to be a disciple, how to conduct yourself. That's another level. Then, of course, you have all these levels. And when it comes to that, you see, the other verse that we read in Mark says, God kept sending people as fathers he kept sending his prophets all throughout the Old Testament. He kept sending people to his children, and they rejected them. And so many times you see people are going through difficulties. They are going through hardships in life. And one of the main reasons is because they don't have anyone speaking into their life. They don't want to have anyone guiding them. They don't have any of that. And so they are just out there. And so Jesus in that parable was saying that it's very important how we respond to fathers. How we respond to God as a father, how we respond to our biological fathers, how we respond to our spiritual fathers, it's very important. And so many times that some of the challenges that people go through is because they have rejected not only God the Father in their life, they have rejected the earthly father, they have rejected the pastors, they have rejected the men of God that God sent them their path, and it gets more difficult. But God says, again, I love how God reacts. I love who God is. He will keep trying, he will keep trying, and he will keep trying. He says, again, I will send my son, and I hope that they will reverence him or respect him. Which brings me to another point, respect and reverence. We are losing that in our culture, and that is where we as a church come in. respect for the elderly, respect for fathers. He says, I will send my son one more time. Hopefully they will reverence this one. They will honor this one. It's so important. I'm hoping that I'll send them somebody that this time they won't kill and get rid of them in their lives. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that for us, the people that God has placed in our lives, we will receive them. If you do that, say amen. Very important to realize that. Now, and in some cases, some people that never even knew their fathers, and they had to have substitute fathers to take care of them. And sometimes the substitute fathers do even a better job sometimes than the biological fathers. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will receive and honor the father figures in our lives. If we will do that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, it says, if you receive a prophet, Matthew 10, verse 41, then you will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive the Father that God sends to you, then you will receive a reward. You receive the reward that comes with it. And in some cases, it becomes very crucial when we do that. Notice what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 45, Genesis chapter 45, verse 7 to 8. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 45, verse 7 to 8. He says, this is talking about when he was revealing himself to his brothers. He says, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he, notice the phrase, has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Remember, Joseph had a very difficult life. He had a dream, and the problem he had was a dream and told his brothers. And for that, he went into the pit. For that, he went into Potiphar's house, was falsely accused, and he went into prison. But throughout all that, he kept his heart. He never grew bitter against his brothers. And later on, Pharaoh had a dream, and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And then when he got to that point, Pharaoh gave an advice to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I don't think there's anybody with this level of wisdom to be able to solve this situation. I think you are the right person for the job. So the next thing that you know, Joseph goes from being rejected, from being in prison, from being unknown, and to be the next in command in Egypt. Which brings me to a very important point. Maybe in the natural, you may have faced rejection. You may have been rejected by your natural father. You may have been rejected by other people. But I can assure you that as you remain faithful to God, God will look on your faithfulness. God will look on your heart and take you from where you are to where you are supposed to be. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So he comes to Pharaoh, and here he's saying that, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh. But think about it. If Pharaoh had decided not to receive Joseph, what would have happened? Think about it. A whole nation was dependent on him. And the advice that he gave to Pharaoh, sooner or later, all the land and the people belonged to Pharaoh. Very smart man. Very smart and intelligent person. And so it's very important how we receive the people, the fathers that God sends into our lives. He says, he's made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, as you receive God the Father himself into your life and the people that he sends into your life, may he take you from where you are to where you are supposed to be. And in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter the rejection that you have faced, no matter how you have been rejected from the natural standpoint, people have written you off. People have said, what good is going to come out of this person? Do away with his dreams. Do away with all these things. Oh, so long as you hold on to those dreams, so long as you hold on to those visions, I can assure you sooner or later, our God will fulfill his word in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Man can reject you, but they cannot reject you for that long. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse to look for David, they didn't even count David as part of the crew. And Samuel was looking on the outside, and he got to a point. He says, no, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. Is there somebody else here? The person that God sent me to anoint is not here. It's not here. Oh, the father said, dummy, I have a last son. He's somewhere in the backside of the desert. He's caring for sheep. Samuel said, we will not sit down until you bring that person. Until you bring him here. And when he saw him, he anointed him to be king. The point I'm making here is, you may have been rejected. You may have been forgotten, but God hasn't forgotten about you. God never forgets you. No. He never forgets you. He sees you right where you are. And at some point, after David defeated Goliath, Saul kept pursuing him and pursuing him and pursuing him to try to kill him. And one day, see how he honored Saul in his life. One day he got the opportunity to kill Saul. And the people said, this is our opportunity here. This person is tormenting our lives. This person is chasing us. This person is doing all these things. Let's just kill him and be done. Notice what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5. Notice what he did. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5. Verse 4 says, then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened that afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Wow. He didn't even kill him. He didn't even take his sword and do anything. Just by cutting his robe, he felt very bad. That's unlike us. Some people want to take a knife and cut other people's head off. Some people say very mean words to their parents. This is David, and God calls him a man after God's own heart. He's the Lord's anointed. The verse 6 says, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He has missed it. He has made some mistakes, but I'm not going to be the one to touch him. I'm not going to be the one to destroy his life, because I respect the anointing of God on his life. That's something that we need to learn. Honor. Honoring people that God has set in our path. And sometimes parents may miss it, but that's not a justification for us to dishonor them. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. How many of us want it to be well with us? Well, then we have to obey this verse. Honor your father and mother. And if your parents aren't alive, you have still have God as a father to honor. Very important for us to do that. I want it to go well with me, and I want to live long on the earth. Well days are not days. When you are sick, those are not well days. When it's not going well with you in other areas, those are not well days. I want to live long on the earth, so I make a choice and a decision to honor my heavenly father and the fathers that God has put in my path. Notice what he said to these people. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. And you have to, it will take a long time to go through it. But the background is these people were messing around with God's the things that belong to God. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? The phrase there is, a son honors his father. A son honors his father. And he says, if you call me father, where is my honor? Where is the honor that is associated with being a father? Honor him. Honor him. Our response to our heavenly father is so important. One day in Luke chapter 15, verse 13 to 16, and downwards, Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. He responded very poorly to his father. And so many times when things are going well, people forget about God. I don't want to do anything with God and his church and all these things. We'll catch up with you later. This son got to a point where he said, Father, I love you very much. I like you, but I've gotten to the point. You give me my portion of the inheritance and let me leave. The father said, okay, if that's what you want, that's what you get. He gave him a portion of the son's inheritance. He left. And when he left, the Bible says that he squandered his money on riotous living, living very bad. And very soon, his money got finished. When he had money, when he had all those things that he had, he forgot about his father. And that is what sometimes we do. When things are going well, it's all good. Why should I go to church? Why should I read my Bible? Why should I do all these things? Life is so good. I don't need him. But very soon his money got finished. And the Bible says he came to himself. And it's good to come to ourselves sometimes. You see, every time you leave God out of your life, you leave his house, it's not an upward trend, it's a downward spiral from there. It's only a matter of time. He doesn't have a father figure in his life. So he says, I will get up and go back to my father. He started competing with pigs for food. It's like, what? In my father's house, even the servants are well taken care of. If even they have enough and plenty to eat, why should I be here competing with pigs for food? I am going to rise up and go back to my father's house. He got up, and when he was going, the Bible says the father saw him afar off. And he ran towards him. That illustrates the heart of the father towards us. His compassion and his love, no matter how we stray far away, the moment that we make a decision to turn around and to come back to the father, he opens his arms wide and he receives us into his hands. He says, son, you are welcome back home. Son, you are welcome back home. Oh, the son said, Lord, my father, I've made a big mess of my life. I am not worthy to be called your son anymore. The father said, don't talk about that. This was my son which was lost and now has come back. Let's make a feast. Let's make a party for my son. Oh, when you make a mistake and you make a wrong turn, God, when any time that you return back to him, he makes a decision, he makes a choice to wipe away your past. You may lose out certain things in the process, because one of the things is, when he came back to the father, the other son said, Dad, I don't think this is right. I've been with you all the time. You don't make a party for me. And this son of yours, he left the house. He wasted his money. And when he came back, you have thrown a party for him. The father said, all things that I have are yours. The other person has lost their inheritance, but everything that I have is yours. But the point there also is, the father made a choice and a decision to receive him back. When he came back to the father, he made a choice and a decision to receive him back into the house. And if you are listening, if you are watching this, maybe at one time you knew God. Maybe at one time you were on fire for God. Maybe at one time you were faithful in the house of God. But for whatever reason, you disconnected. And as you have disconnected, life is getting difficult and difficult and harder by the day. I can assure you by the word of God that the moment, this very moment, you can make a decision to return to God. You can make a decision that I'm going back to God. You can make a decision that I am going back to the Father's house. I refuse to be without my Heavenly Father. I refuse to be without a covering. I am going back into my Father's house, and Father, receive me. And I can assure you that He will receive you. He will receive you back. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is saying that to you, that when you return, he will have mercy on you. When you return, he will have mercy on you, and he will abandon you, abundantly pardon. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And make a decision and a choice to return to the Lord, even as we remember the Father of fathers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And again, it's very important, again, to realize that he loves us. And for us, it's also important to know, he says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy on you. We serve a merciful Father. We serve a good Father. No matter how far you have gone, he's willing to take you back. Now, in the Old Testament, let me switch gears a little bit here. In the Old Testament, these people had a high value for the blessing of the Father. They had a very, very high regard for the blessing of the Father. So notice in Genesis chapter 27, verse 29, Genesis chapter 27, verse 29, Jacob, Isaac, was getting ready to die. And he made a very important, he did something very important. He said something that was very significant. He said to his son that go and make me, Isaiah chapter 27, verse 4, he says, and make me savory food such as I have, and bring it to me that my soul may eat, my soul may bless you before I die. It's very significant that why would he say that bring me something savory to eat that might bless you? Why doesn't he just go ahead and bless the sons? No, it's very, very, very important when it comes to those people had an understanding. Bring something to the Father that will please Him, that will be savory to Him, that He will smell something good, and that He may bless you. That is why God was saying to those people in Malachi that you have dishonored me as a father. There's a spiritual principle there. When you bring, that is why God instituted the tithes and the offerings. When you bring it to God, it goes up to God as a sweet smelling sacrifice. He smells it. It pleases Him. Then He releases the blessing into your life. But the key here is to seek the approval, to seek to please the Father. Jesus said when He was on the earth that I am only here to do the will of my Father. I'm not seeking to please anyone. I am seeking to please the Father. And so it's very important for us to seek to please our Heavenly Father. He desires to be so close to us. He desires a close relationship and a close walk with us. He desires to pour His blessings on our lives and to show us His goodness and His mercy. And it all depends on how we respond to Him as a Father. He sent Jesus Christ, and it was prophesied about Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. He says, he puts it this way, "Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his father, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against.'" For a sign which will be spoken against. How do we treat Jesus? How do we treat the Heavenly Father? The child has been set for as a sign for the fall and the rising of many. For the fall and the rising of many. And again, going back to Jacob. So Jacob knew that principle as well. So when he was ready to die, he called his sons. And he wanted to bless them. These people were all about the blessing and to speak words over them. And so he calls his sons. By this time he was in the land of Egypt. He calls his sons to come, and his sons come to him, and they are expecting a blessing. And for me, I look forward to that as well. But notice, he says, "And Jacob called his sons and said, 'Gather together, Genesis chapter 49, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you will not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch.'" Verse 5. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor," notice, "be united to the assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their father, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I would divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Verse 8. "Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you." It sounds similar to the blessing that Isaac gave him. He says, your brothers shall serve you. But the significant thing here is, as he was going down through the line, normally in Israel, the blessing belonged to the firstborn. When he got to the firstborn, he's like, "No, you are not it. What you did, you had the excellency and dignity and strength of mind. It's you are not going to be it." He gets to Simeon and Levi. He passes them as well. Then he gets to Judah. Judah means praise. He says, you are the one whom your brothers shall praise. And Jesus Christ came through the lineage of Judah as well. But I like what he says. He says, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. I want to come there a little bit. When they captured their enemies back then, they would put the hand of their leg and their hand on the neck of the king to say that we have captured you. And Judah was the one that he said, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. And I pray as the spiritual father of this house, this morning I speak over your life that the enemies that you are faced with, that which will endeavor to defeat you in your life, in your family, in your health, in your finances, in your relationship, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may you begin to rule and to dominate over that in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. May your hand be on the neck of your enemies. The enemies of your life that will endeavor to send you under in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May your hand be on the neck of those enemies. And then he says, oh, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. A scepter is a symbol of dominion. It's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of rule. Oh, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Adam and Eve lost the dominion in the garden, but through Jesus Christ, that dominion has been restored. And I pray, may the blessing of God never leave your house. Oh, may the dominion of Christ, oh, may you walk in the fullness of it. Oh, may you keep rising and not falling and not fall. May you keep going higher and higher in life. May God take you to the place that he has destined for you. May God take you to the next level of your life. The enemies that will threaten, that threaten to send you under in the mighty name of Jesus, the enemies that you see today, may you not see them again forever. May the hand, your hand be on the neck of your enemies. He said to Jesus, about Jesus, he said, oh, for the fall and the rising of many. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you rise and rise. Oh, may you rise into greatness. May you rise into the fullness of that which God has for your life. Oh, people may have rejected you and said it is over, but I can assure you by the word of God, it is not over till God says it's over. It is not over till you say it is over. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I speak over your life this morning. I see you rising and rising. Oh, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh, I'm getting excited already. Hallelujah. He shall be for the fallen and the rise of many. May you not be on the fallen side. Be on the rising side. I see you rising. I see you entering into God's best. I see you fulfilling all that God has planned for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I see you dominating. You are going up higher and higher and not down. You are not diminishing. God, my. He loves us so much. You have no idea. He loves you so much. Notice Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, the Lord, your God, in your midst, the mighty one will do what? He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That sounds like the father receiving the son back into the house. He threw a party for him. He says, he's mighty to save. The mighty one will do what? He will save. Say that to yourself every day. He will save. Say that this morning. He will save. The mighty one will save. The mighty one will save. And I like this. He says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. Hallelujah. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This morning, the troubled places of your life, I pray may he quiet you with his love. With his love. May he quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. No wonder the Bible says that when one sinner repents, all of heaven goes happy. They begin to rejoice. That is the attitude of God towards us. He rejoices over you with singing. May he quiet you this morning with his love. May you experience the love of the Father. May he overwhelm you with his love than ever before. Hallelujah. Quiet you with his love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And finally, notice what he says in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, talking about the heart of the Father. I want you to see God in a different light. So many times we think God is like a mean person. He's sitting on his throne with a swat in his hand, waiting for us that when we miss it, he's going to swat us. No! I want to change that mindset this morning. Notice what he says. Thank you, Lord. From Luke chapter 11, verse 11. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Answer that question for me this morning. I'll answer it back to God. If in the natural, if someone asks, if a son asks for bread from a father among you, would he give him a stone? Talk to me now. No responsible father would do that. If he asked for a fish, would he go get a snake and give it to him? No. They say, he goes on to say, or if he asked for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? No responsible natural father would do that. Then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I love this phrase in the Bible. How much more? Say it with me. How much more? Repeat it louder. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, give good gifts to your children? How much will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the other account, he says, give good things to those who ask him. That is the attitude of the Father to us. And all of the time, we are walking through life and wondering. And when we get into a difficult place, we are butting our head against the wall and trying to figure it out. And the angels are saying in heaven, can this person get this right? God wants to give you everything. God wants to give you good gifts. Don't try to figure it out in your own mind. Just get to know him as a father. So many times the world, you know him as God. No, switch and begin to know him as father. Oh, he's been a father to me. Oh, he's been a father to me. Get to know him as a father. Develop a close relationship with him. Call him father. Call him your daddy. Call him, relate to him and get to know him on a personal level. He wants to bestow his goodness on you. How much more? Somebody say it. How much more? How much more? How much more? How much more? Your Heavenly Father longs to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants, longs to give you good things. It's not a mean God. God is a good God. Everyone say, God is a good God. Our Father is a good Father. One time he said to the Israelites, oh, come and taste and see how good the Lord is. Hallelujah. I pray that you taste and see the goodness of God. But it all depends on how we respond to him, how we respond to him, how we reverence him, how we reverence and respect the fathers that God places on our part, and how we receive him into our lives. Oh, get ready, get ready, get ready. He says he will quiet you with his love. Get ready. Position yourself to receive the love of the Father in this season. That is his heart. That is the reason why he created you and I, to have fellowship with us. Son, daughter, what do you need? What do you want me to do for you? I long to come into your life to make all the difference. The hurts, the difficulties, the places of your life where you don't even want to talk to anyone about. You cry over your family. You cry over your children. You cry over your health. You just give me an opportunity. Let me come into your life and transform it. Let me be a father to you. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. So many times we get to the place where we want to be independent. We just want to be independent of him. Sometimes I was like that in college. If I needed something, I'll get to the place where, I didn't want to call my father. I'm going to figure this out on my own. So we get like that sometimes in the natural. You sit on your throne. You take care of this side. This side, I got it. I'll take care of it. Don't come here. I'll figure it out myself. And we keep struggling. The angels are around you. They say, what's wrong with this person? Why is he trying to do it himself? Why are they trying to do it themselves? He longs to shower his love on you. Receive his love this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Talk to God this morning. Thank you, Father. My. How much more?
We trust this message was a blessing. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your App Store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.